Croc and the Bro podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back.
Thanks for joining us once again. Another episode, Croc and the Bro. Today, I think we have a pretty cool topic.
Movie casting.
That I talk about a lot because I love movies, and you like movies too.
I do.
Yeah, and who doesn't, right? But this in particular gets a little more into the casting process. Not necessarily the process, just, you know, of course, our opinions.
Right. And you know, movies we liked, but they didn't quite get it 100% right from the casting department. They sort of fell short with one of their choices.
To spoil us further, us nitpicking already good movies, but, you know.
Right. Sometimes they redeem themselves.
Yes.
But I don't know. so close to getting it right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, again, these are still good movies. I guess to get us started, you know, we each got ourselves a movie that we liked.
Right. But in the fantasy realm, we would like to recast one of the roles in that movie, correct?
Yes.
One of the actors or actresses.
Yeah.
Well, I'm dying to hear which movie you're going to pick apart, Patrick.
Yeah. So mine is going to be very controversial.
Mm.
I'm sure the internet will destroy me for having this position.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And especially, I mean, you know, especially the comic book fans in particular.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people are still going to want to destroy me after this. And again, I want to reiterate, I liked the movie a lot. It was a great movie. The Dark Knight.
Mm.
I was one of those people. I wasn't like one of these, you know, people on blog posts and all that stuff, but in my head, I was thinking it. I was not crazy about Heath Ledger being cast as the Joker.
Oh,
for the relaunch.
Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
And I wasn't alone. There are, you know who you are, okay? You know who you are.
Oh,
there
yeah.
are plenty of people out there who were doubting Heath Ledger as being cast.
Because what were they saying? Like, what were their doubts about him?
Well, their doubts was really like, oh, because he was in like teen movies and stuff. He's kind of a heartthrob.
Yeah, okay.
So,
right, 10 Things I Hate About You, he was in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure there were movies he had played dramatic parts in, but I think at the time, his acting career wasn't like, didn't scream, you know, villain, especially an iconic one like the Joker.
Oh, yeah, and huge franchise.
Yeah, so it's
big responsibility.
So it was a big gamble, you know, mm-hmm. to cast him, because that's, you know, one, there was controversy about even doing the Joker again, which obviously we can laugh about that now because now they're doing it a million times over. But at the time when they announced that they were going to have the Joker in the new Batman trilogy with, you know, Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, which
right.
he crushed, Chris Nolan crushed the trilogy. But even doing the Joker again was controversial because everyone loved Jack Nicholson in the 80s. I mean, that was
right.
for an 80s movie. That Batman movie was awesome for the 80s.
Yeah, and did you hear that Jack Nicholson warned Heath Ledger about doing the movie,
about playing
the Joker?
I think I heard something about that.
So
I think I heard that.
He warned him that it really does mess with your head doing this role and like diving in so deep.
Yeah.
So he gave, you know, sad because he really did, you know, let him know kind of the mania that's involved with bringing that character to life.
Yeah, it's crazy. So you know, he ended up doing a great job, Heath Ledger. I won't argue that. But there was a list of people that, you know, I liked. One guy in particular who I thought would have been awesome was Edward Norton as the Joker.
Mm.
That would have been someone that I would have considered for that because
he's very versatile.
Yeah, because he's not physically imposing, but the Joker's character is not really physically imposing. Some of the Batman villains are just jacked and they're huge, right? And they're a physical challenge to Batman. The Joker's more of a sneaky, creative, you know, psycho, really, crazy guy. Which Heath Ledger did a good job with that role. It was cool. His costume was cool. I can't really hate on him too much.
Yeah, no, he really did an amazing job with that role. I know you might have had your skepticism
at first.
Yeah,
and a lot of people doubted me too. And I didn't really know anything about Heath Ledger, really. I really didn't know anything about him as an actor at that time. I mean, again, I was, you know, at that time, right? But I don't know. I just love Edward Norton, so that was part of my bias. I pretty much will see anything he's in. I like Fight Club, but American History X is kind of a good thing because he was kind of argumentative. He was,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he was obviously more physically imposing in that movie because he, you know, he definitely lifted weights for that movie. But Yeah, he just has like a temper. He can snap quickly, you know. He can charm you in 2 seconds and snap quickly, but you know, that would have been. And I know the internet's still going to destroy me, so just be nice in the comments, okay? I know it's a, I know it's an unpopular, you know, right. position
Rest
right
in
now.
Peace. He did do a good job.
I know he did a fantastic job, and
but
now
you're entitled to your opinions too.
Oh, of course,
you know?
No, I know. And again, Christopher Nolan crushed it. So the people he chose, I mean, you know, you can nitpick all you want, but he did a good job. That movie was cool. The whole trilogy was cool, and Heath Ledger's a good actor. So you know, I was wrong. In the long term, I was wrong.
He proved you wrong.
Yeah.
Proved you wrong.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it was just, and I guess, like, my other thing, too, was when I thought about Heath Ledger, it's like, okay, maybe they're going to introduce him as, like, a nice guy at first, and then he turns. Because that's kind of the Joker backstory.
Okay.
There's a point where the character turns. Like, he's a regular guy. He just, bad things happen to him, and then he becomes this maniac. So that's what I was thinking of. Okay, if they're doing Heath Ledger, I could see him being the nice guy pre-Joker. And then he obviously something happens and he turns. So that's what I was thinking. But now, I mean, The Dark Knight, he just pops up out of nowhere and just causes mayhem. So, which is cool too. So it worked. But yeah, that's pretty much, that's my hot take. So I'm sure I'll get roasted, but I'm okay with it. I, you know, Edward Norton.
I know.
All the way.
At least you put the disclosure in there.
Oh yeah, of course. And you know, reiterate, did a good job. So, but,
right.
But I know you got a hot button, right?
Right. So my pet peeve with movies and how they're cast is when you take a movie that's a musical, for instance, and I understand there's this whole like A-list kind of thing, but I hate when they cast someone who is supposed to either play an instrument or even more annoying, sing in the movie, and they're really just not trained. It just, oh my God, it gets to me. Like within the first like 2 minutes of the movie, you know that you're set up to watch this person just sort of like give it a college try. Oh my, I mean, some people really rise to the occasion, but the movie in particular that I'm talking about in particular is La La Land, and specifically Emma Stone in La La Land. I like her in other stuff, but as a singer in this movie, oh my God, please God, no,
wow.
Just no. I mean, the thing is, there are so many like well-established famous actors who are amazing singers.
Yeah.
Amazing. I don't understand what happened there. I really don't. Like, okay, you can fake someone playing piano in a movie.
Yeah.
Because you can like set the camera up in a creative way and you can dub it. And you could even dub it for this, but she was really singing, and she really struggled, I think.
Struggled, huh?
It was difficult to watch
at times.
Yeah, I
mean, you know I'm never going to watch that movie. You'll probably have to make me watch that movie via punishment at some point.
Oh,
but
yeah. Well, no, if I'm going to make you watch a musical movie, I'm going to make you watch, like, a really, like, classic one. Like, maybe Sound of Music would be a good movie for you to watch as a punishment.
I mean, I've already seen that, so that's nice of you if you... That's actually a good one.
But it's also 3 hours long.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Shit. It's 3 hours? Oh, my God.
I used to watch The Sound of Music with my grandmother, and back in the day of VHS, there was an intermission. It was on 2 VHS tapes.
There you go, people.
Back in the day,
that's
before
knowledge.
These DVD kids, streaming kids, you will never have to know the changing of the VHS tape. Only certain movies. Titanic had one, too.
Oh, yeah, Titanic. Of course. Of course,
all
Titanic.
All the three-hour
on
films
VHS.
Had the 2 VHS tapes.
Oh, my God.
I remember it so clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
But, you know, getting back to La La Land, you know, I loved the concept for the movie, this sort of reimagining of the, you know, the musical movie.
Yeah.
It hadn't been done in a while.
Yeah.
And so I commend them for that. And there were things that were good about it, but you have to have the leading lady be like, amazing as an amazing singer for this kind of movie. I'm sorry, I won't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were recasting it, I would look at Lea Michele.
Wait a second,
she was in Glee. Trying to think what else you would have seen her in. She's an amazing singer.
I would know her if I saw a picture of her, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you would recognize her.
You know, I have a very limited actress list,
and specifically actresses who sing, or actors, however they identify.
Yeah, people who have people who might have probably a stronger theater background versus, you know, screen on screen.
I mean, a movie like this where it is so theatrical, get a theater actor in there. I'm sorry, or a film actor who can also has theatrical training.
I remember you were upset about they did the live action Les Mis.
Yeah.
Who was the actor you didn't like singing? I don't know if you remember.
I mean, Hugh Jackman was amazing. He's always good. I wasn't crazy about Anne Hathaway. I'd say that she did a good job, and they at least, you know, did like the right kind of musical thing where I think they had like an orchestra playing in another room, and they had the actors, they had earbuds.
Yeah.
So they were singing live. So I commend them for that, because that's really hard to do.
But there was someone you were like, he can't sing. It was a guy.
Oh, Russell Crowe.
Oh, Russell Crowe was in Les Mis.
I think so. Should I look it up real quick?
No, that's okay. No,
I'm pretty sure it's Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I love Russell Crowe, but the,
Yeah, it's what would be Act Two if we were watching the musical live. It's the love interest. Yeah, I forget the character's name. I think it's Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Yeah. So see, I gave you my hand about Anne Hathaway. You weren't even asking about Anne Hathaway.
Well, no, I mean, no. Listen,
no,
of course,
it's fine. She did okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
She's good too.
Yeah.
I would much rather have Anne Hathaway than Emma Stone. No offense. I'm probably going to get, like, internet destroyed for that, too.
Well, let us know in the comments how we did.
Well, to each their own, I'd say.
I know I'm
going to
get blasted about Heath Ledger, but, you know.
You're not going to tame the internet trolls. They're going to say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. No, and listen, movies, you know, we're going to cover this. Actually, our next segment actually takes us to this a little bit, but, you know, just in terms of how we would restructure things that didn't work out and all that stuff too, because there's data that backs it up in terms of, you know, how movies that didn't do so well.
So we would call it the Hollywood flop, so to speak. You know, movies that put millions of dollars into something with the hopes that they will get a return, and they did not. Just fall short.
Yeah.
Big time.
All right, so I led the first segment, so why don't you start with this one?
Okay. So the flop that I would totally reimagine here would be The Goldfinch. It was a movie that came out in 2019, I believe. And look, I read the book, and the book was great. It was long and dense, but I loved the book. And so I was really excited about the movie, even though as a book lover, I know that it is so hard. The page to screen is not the easiest thing, and they change things, and they cut things, and they change the ending. It's annoying. So this movie had a $45 million budget, and it only made 10, so that's pretty rough.
I saw this movie with you, right? Did we see this movie?
We did see this movie together.
Who's in it?
So Nicole Kidman is in it. She plays like the mom.
Oh, yeah.
And also Sarah Paulson's in it. She plays like the stepmom who's a little bit trashy.
Oh, that's right. She's like, when they were in Vegas?
Arizona.
Oh,
yeah.
Arizona. Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
Or maybe Vegas. No, maybe West Vegas.
Yeah, they were somewhere in the desert, though. Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah. You
know, I've always had this thing. I like Nicole Kidman in some things, but honestly, I feel like she does a lot of whisper acting. Like, she just talks really soft, and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
And certain things that she does, she's just, like, a notorious whisperer. I'm like, it's not enough for me.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recast her. I would maybe put, like, Julianne Moore in her role, so to speak. But actually, The bigger pet peeve in that movie for me was the kid from Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard.
Oh, yeah.
He played the Russian kid.
Yeah.
I mean, holy hell. Get that kid a dialect coach. Like, his accent was awful.
Oh, really?
You didn't notice?
I mean, I was kind of like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's the kid from Stranger Things. I thought it was cool.
Right.
But I didn't dive into... I know he's playing some like teenage kid or whatever, right? I don't, wait, who was the main boy in it? I don't remember his
he
name.
He wasn't a famous guy, and he was very vanilla. He wasn't
I don't even remember the main guy.
He wasn't like exceptional either. I didn't write down his name. He was fine, I think. I don't think as a leading, he was the leading role, right? He didn't like stand out in my mind as being so fantastic.
I'm trying to remember who played him as the adult though, because he grows up, right? You see him when they're kids, you see him when they're younger, and then you see him when they're adults. I don't even remember who the adult was. But anyways, yeah. So you didn't dig the accent of the stranger kids.
No. Yeah. I mean, somebody get this kid, put budget towards getting that kid a dialect coach, because he did not do it justice.
So they spent $45 million and it only made 10?
That stuff drives me crazy, like the accents. Like if they're not, if they're phony or if they just don't sound good, it sounds like the actor didn't practice. I don't know. He was either like trying too hard or I don't know. It just was not working.
It didn't strike you as natural.
No. No. It didn't do it for me. So it's too bad because the book was good.
But right, well, that's why sometimes people always say I like the book better, but
okay, well, what is your flop over there?
So this is an interesting take. I have a weird position on this movie because, and everyone I think likes, people who like Christmas, everyone likes A Christmas Carol as the story overall. It's been done a lot of times. Everyone's got their favorite version of it. This is a different take that I have, just because this particular one was a weird one. So I'm going to talk about The Christmas Carol that was made in 2009, one with Jim Carrey.
Okay.
So this one, have you seen that one?
I have,
Jim Carrey? Yeah. So the one that was like, it's like basically animated. And I don't know how they shot it. Someone can drop comments on how they did this. But basically, I don't know if it's like motion capture. So they kind of blend in the actor's face, you know, and they put it inside the animation or whatever. I don't, you know, it is mostly animation, obviously. But they try to blend the actor's face with the animation, which is a cool concept. Amazing technology, I'm sure. But that's also partly why it is considered a financial flop. So this movie, they estimated that it lost over $50 million and some say $100 million.
Ooh.
Now, the reason why it's a flop, quote unquote, and I'll call it a flop, is because it's animation, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So usually animation is like, you can get away with like somewhat lower budget because you don't have to worry about stunts and paying all these extras and actors. I mean, whatever.
Right. Production costs.
Yeah. There are expenses to any movie that I'm not even, you know, in the realm of understanding. But on paper, for me, I would have made this a live action remake instead of the animated. Because you look at this cast. So Jim Carrey plays Ebenezer Scrooge. You have Gary Oldman. You have Colin Firth. And you have Robin Wright Penn. And it's interesting because they use Jim Carrey, of course, as Ebenezer Scrooge. Bob Hoskins was in this movie too. And for me, I love Jim Carrey in a lot of things. Bob Hoskins would have been a great Ebenezer Scrooge.
So would Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Oh, Gary Oldman too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because as a kid, and I think you saw, and we watched it recently too, around Christmas, Michael Caine played an awesome Ebenezer Scrooge in the Muppets movie.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking, like, imagine Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge with Gary Oldman and Colin Firth and Robin Wright Penn as in A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
As we all know, those damn Brits, they get all the roles.
You always gripe about that.
I know.
But
I am a little bitter.
I mean, it all goes back to the training, like I was saying before. You say that, you can, you know, scoff at me all you want. But I'm telling you, there's something about the type of training that they do in England, and specifically London, and also having seen shows in both New York and London, the shows in London are just so much better.
Really?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, it's partly because they're not doing shows for the tourist economy. They have a loyal theater-going community. It's still part of their culture.
Right.
Where in New York, it is still part of our culture, but
it's tourist-heavy, tourist-catered.
Well, Yes, it's also become too expensive, and maybe families are taking their kids to the movies, and the going to the theater, like going to the opera used to be for rich people, and going to the theater used to be for like middle class people.
Yeah.
But now with the tickets getting so high, you're really limiting it to those upper class people for all theatrical experiences, you know, pre-pandemic, of course. And the middle class people are like, okay, we can go to like one show a year, and they're going to go to these like spectacle things. I don't know. It's just different. Culture's different.
Those damn Brits, they're not just in the theaters. They're dominating the movie screens.
Oh, I know. They're crushing it. I know. I mean, but they are so good.
I know. I hate to admit it, but yeah, they are.
There are a lot of American actors that I like too, but a lot of my favorite actors across the board are English.
Yeah. 100%. Leo's just holding it down for America right now. He's the only one.
I mean, we got Maggie Smith, we got Judi Dench, Gary Oldman, you already said.
Yeah, he's good.
There's so many good ones. Daniel Day-Lewis.
They're everywhere.
I mean, they're really good.
It's a small-ass country. How come they have all these sick actors? It's crazy. It's like a farm.
It's that theater training.
Oi.
Intense theater training. Well, maybe because the weather is pretty shitty there. So maybe they just train.
They just stay inside and
they
like
just stay
act.
Inside and train and
that
act.
Makes sense.
Whereas here we lose the whole summer because summer's so nice here. Everyone's just outside.
Well, they're doing something because they're getting all the superhero roles. They're getting the villain roles.
They are.
They're getting all the cool parts.
They are. They're getting a lot of the U.S. parts. I agree with you.
Yeah. Man.
But
yeah.
I mean,
so
some of it's deserved.
So yeah, I mean, I actually, to be honest, I kind of like this Christmas Carol movie anyway. To circle back to, you know, the quote unquote flop, even though it was a financial flop, but you know, everyone's got their famous Christmas Carol. Of course, I loved the movie Scrooged, which with Bill Murray,
which
is of course
a
comedy.
There are certain Christmas movies that don't need to be remade over and over and over again.
Yeah,
you can just leave a classic where it is.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I guess my overall position on this particular movie is with the people that were involved, I would have done live action instead of the animated.
Absolutely. It'd be way more interesting, and you won't have to cover people in CGI.
To lose 100 mil, which is it's rumored, to lose 50 to 100 mil on an animated movie, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
That was
it's in Hollywood for you.
I was reading about Fantasia, too. Fantasia was considered a flop for Disney. It wasn't quite.
Really?
It wasn't quite 100 million, but I think it was.
Oh, maybe back then, of course, the budgets were much smaller. But
right,
but
well, it was like 84 million to make it, and 60 million in box office sales. So it didn't even break even.
Hmm.
And to be honest, it did. It was just like lacking story. Like I think it was like mostly music, right? I remember being like scared of it as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, the music was really cool. I mean,
intense.
Yeah, you're hit or miss. Because the music does get intense.
It was scary for me. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, that's true. And it's weird because you're putting scary music in something that's you're trying to tailor to kids because it's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
that is
very like theatrical and almost operatic at parts, like, you know, telling a story through music because there really wasn't text in that movie, right?
I haven't seen the movie forever, but I think you're right. I mean,
kind of
it
lost.
Probably scared a lot of kids, that music. It was very intense.
It fell flat for me watching it, and just a little too scary.
Right.
So I think they could have spent the money elsewhere on a different kind of Mickey Fantasia story.
Oh, they ended up doing that a lot. So yeah, Mickey got his day and other stuff too. So
and you can also just do something different besides or Mickey or someone in his family.
Yeah. Yep. So. Yeah, all right. So we covered what we would retweak that's already good. We covered flops. So now we get to a very fun game.
I want to stump you, Pat.
It's time for Stump the Kronk.
Stump the bro.
That's right. So we're re-earthing this game because we love this game. It's
right.
Very good.
And, you know, we're so competitive. So we like to raise the stakes.
Yes.
So, up the ante.
Let's talk about these stakes real quick.
Stump is a form of a trivia game where we will pose a question and you have a multiple choice for multiple choice answers and you have to pick the right answer. Otherwise, you get stumped. So I'm still pretty bitter about A, that when I won, you didn't have any stakes. Two, Did I say A? And then I said two?
Keep going because it's hilarious anyway.
Oh, no. Damn it.
Just power through, Kronk.
Well, too late now.
Yep, it's too late. Just keep going.
Two.
You're bitter because you lost.
I'm bitter. No, I'm not bitter that I lost. I'm bitter that I don't get to put you in a wig. I really want to put you in a wig, so I want to put it back out on the table for you that I want to wager a wig again.
You want to wager a wig?
Right, but I would
redemption get wig.
A redemption wig punishment.
Ambush I would wig.
Ambush you at a time of my choosing.
An episode of a future episode that we record, yes, if you're choosing.
Exactly.
Because I won that last game, fair and square.
Even though, but there was a game that I won that you didn't get jack shit.
You forgot to put, we forgot to put stakes in. That's, well, that's, you know.
Never again.
All right. Well, again, you still, it's still, it's almost March. You still haven't done your polar plunge, so.
It's still February, by the way. Okay.
So.
Thank you.
All right. You want to wager a wig. So I got to do some evil back if you lose.
Right. Well, for me to you, if I win, I get to do a wig ambush.
Okay.
And what would you do for me?
I think I'm just going to put a big-ass mustache on your face for an episode that we record.
Okay.
Possibly with the wig, or I could just do mustache.
Oh.
And or I could do a wig for another episode. Because if I'm going to allow this wig redemption on your part, then I'm going to do that. If I win, I get to do of my choosing. If I decide to give you a wig and a mustache, whatever. But if I decide one episode I want to give you a mustache to use for the whole episode... Or a wig separately.
Yes.
That's my discretion.
I accept.
You accept?
It can either happen simultaneously, wig and mustache, or separately.
All right. Fair.
I'm in. Okay. I accept these terms.
All right. All righty. So for this trivia stump category, Kronk and I each found someone that was originally cast. You're going to cover, you did an actress, right?
I did.
And I did an actor. So basically, our questions are going to be based around who was originally considered for a role. And then we're assuming this person turned it down.
Right, yeah. It ended up going to a different actor.
And they did another project, they turned it down, they didn't like it, whatever. So, all right, ladies first.
Okay, me again.
See if you can stump the bro.
All right, so who was originally cast as the female lead in Sleepless in Seattle? Was it A, Annette Bening, B, Diane Keaton, C, Julia Roberts, or D, Kate Beckinsale?
Did you put Kate Beckinsale in for me? Because you know my heart throbs for her. Is that why you did that? Excuse you.
I know. No, I'm just kidding. I don't need to hear about your heart throbbing for Kate Beckinsale.
I know it's not Kate Beckinsale. However... Can you remind me who actually is the female lead in that movie? I forget already.
I have to tell you this? Are you going to tell me this for you?
Well, you're going to know. My question, you're going to know who the lead actor was in this movie. It's easy.
Okay. The person who, it was Meg Ryan.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Meg Ryan. Okay. All right. So I know it's not Kate Beckinsale. So you're trying to distract me. I know what you're up to. So all right. So who is A through C again?
Annette Bening. Diane Keaton. Julia Roberts.
All right. I'm gonna go with Diane Keaton.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
All right. You got it wrong. I stumped you.
All right. So he was in Seattle. I had no chance.
I mean, you didn't. It was open ended.
But you're trying to throw Kate Beckinsale in there.
I know. Kate Beckinsale's not even. She would have been like a teenager.
Yeah.
Like this movie was from the 90s,
please,
late 90s. So it was Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Okay.
Yeah. She said she turned it down because she couldn't get into the role. And then, you know, it worked out for Julia Roberts because then she got Pretty Woman.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Yeah, sometimes it happens. These actors, they get two cool roles, and you're like, oh, you're crazy. Why you turn on this? But then, you know, it ends up working out. Sometimes it doesn't, and they regret it forever. But
would have been different story altogether. Yeah, and, you know, I just threw Annette Bening and Diane Keaton in there as to throw you off the scent.
Well, very good. Those are two good.
Really big range of, like, you know, Kate Beckinsale would have been really young, and then
I think you would have got me anyway, because I think the top two I was thinking about was either Diane Keaton or Annette Bening. So good job, Kronk.
Yes.
I mean, Sleepless in Seattle. You had me. You had me. Yeah, you still have to get my question right, or it's a wash.
Okay. All right.
So for Stump the Kronk, here is my trivia question on who was originally cast. Which actor was originally considered for the role of Forrest Gump? This is a cool one.
Mm.
Is it A, Ed Harris? Is it B, John Travolta? Is it C, Nicolas Cage? Or is it D, Tony Shalhoub?
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Let me know if you need me to read the names again.
I'm going to go with John Travolta.
Shit. She got it.
Yes.
Damn it.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Woo.
Wow. Good job.
I'm so glad I'm victorious right now. Finally.
Look at you. Look at your face.
I know.
You're glowing.
I have that winner's glow.
Yes. Look at you. Very good. Damn.
Yes. I needed that redemption because you got off way too easy without anything.
All right. Well, good job. All right. So just the backstory on this one. This is kind of cool because it's crazy to think about John Travolta as Forrest Gump. I think Travolta probably would have done a good job, but
why did he turn it down?
So he was at the time he was thinking about all these different projects, and at the time he decided to do Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
I didn't get the exact story on why he exactly turned down Forrest Gump, but he ended up doing Pulp Fiction that same year. And that kind of jolted his career. I mean, these actors, they make decisions. They're like, okay, like, which role do I want to do? Which could help my career? Now, of course, Forrest Gump was amazing.
Both were blockbuster movies.
Yeah. And then Pulp Fiction, actually, they really re-jolted Travolta's career. Maybe Travolta wanted an edgier character.
Oh, yeah, I could see that, because he was known as, like, the Grease kid.
Yeah, he's, like, the smooth guy, and he's kind of, he wants to be a little bit badass, and, I mean, Tom Hanks, I mean, that's, you know, can you imagine not,
no.
It wasn't Forrest Gump not being Tom
like
Hanks?
I feel like John Travolta would have ruined it.
Yeah.
I really do. Tom Hanks, for that type of role, is way better suited.
Yeah. Yep.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's very homey, and you can
he plays like
relate
the
to him.
Average man very well.
Yeah. So, and Travolta's just like he's a screen stealer for sure. Like, you know, depending on what role he has, but yeah, John Travolta, he didn't make a bad decision doing Pulp Fiction. I mean, obviously, you know, Forrest Gump. I think Hanks won an award. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he won awards for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he did.
But Travolta didn't make a horrible decision. He still did Pulp Fiction, which is a cool movie. So, but yeah. So, oh man.
I win.
Congrats, Kronk. You stumped me, and you got my question right.
I did.
You doubled up. You did. So you earned it.
Really,
ambush
I
with
should
a
make you wear two wigs, but I won't. I won't. I won't.
Excuse
reverse.
Me. Excuse me.
Ooh, feisty.
Yeah, that's right.
Well. I'm going to end on a high here, so...
Damn. I can't believe you, Kronk.
I'm going to run off into the night and on my winner's high here.
Well, listen, this is your... If any category you are going to win, this is definitely your realm.
Yeah.
Movies and actors
and
actresses.
You know, I did do a hard one. I wasn't exactly sure if you ever saw Sleepless in Seattle, so...
I don't think I ever saw it.
Right.
I think I remember seeing ads for it back in the day.
That wasn't a criteria, so had to throw a challenging one in there for you.
Well done. Well played. Well played, Kronk.
I just liked it.
Shit. I'll get you next time.
Yes. We'll see about that.
Mm.
So. Well... Thank you, everyone, for joining us again today.
Let us know. Feel free to comment where we were wrong, what you would recast someone as, what you thought was a bigger, you know, I guess whatever flops you'd consider. And thanks for joining us again.
Have a great night. Kronk and the Bro is produced in partnership by House of Kronk and Young Hall. This episode is edited and mixed by Sarah Kronk. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and follow us on social media at Kronk and the Bro. Thanks for listening.